Welcome to the teachings of the Renew Community. We are a family of Jesus followers seeking to be formed into the image of Christ and to join God in the renewal of all things. We meet together weekly in large gatherings and in house churches throughout Bucks and Montgomery counties. If you'd like more information on the Renew Community, feel free to check us out at www.renewcommunity.org.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all. These texts that we've heard this morning are so rich. There's so much happening in all of them. We've heard from Psalm 19 and Nehemiah 8 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Luke 4. It's a lot of scripture. But what I love is that first one that we read, that Aubrey led us in reading, Psalm 19, talks about the glorious revelation that God has put in his creation, the beauty of his creation. Now that speaks to who God is and his beauty, his glory, his splendor. But then he also says the word, the scripture is also this special revealing because while creation is very broad and general and beautiful, scripture speaks to God's heart and his intentions. And so the psalmist writes, the word of the Lord revives the soul. It gives wisdom to the simple. It enlightens your eyes. And then we read this Nehemiah text, and what the psalmist just said actually happens as we read the story, right? They spend the whole morning just reading the word of God together. And what's happening? Their souls are revived. Their eyes are enlightened. And it doesn't tell us why they're weeping. There could be lots and lots of different reasons why they're weeping. And the response is like, no, this is a beautiful day. Whatever's happening in your heart, whatever the Spirit is stirring in your heart, it's because God is speaking to you. And so let this be a day of celebration because God is on the move and God is working through the hearing of his word, through the reading of his word. And then this beautiful statement, think about this. They've been working their tails off to try to rebuild this wall. Well, what's a wall for that city? It's protection, it's strength. And what do they speak to these people? The wall that you just built is your strength. No, it's not the wall. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This beautiful reading of God's word and who God is and God's heart for these people, and it stirs up. Oh, he's our strength. It doesn't matter what happens to this wall. He is our strength. And then we get to the gospel reading and the word who has become flesh. Jesus says, yeah, what that psalm says, that's what I'm here to do. Right? Jesus shows up and makes this public declaration of who he is and what he's here to do. I want to read it again. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So he makes this public declaration of who he is and what he's going to do. And then guess what? It's exactly what he does. Spends probably about the next 3 years going around and doing these very things. This is exactly what Jesus did. He preached good news of God's kingdom, and he taught people how to live a God-oriented life in that kingdom, how to live a good life. He healed all kinds of illness, including blindness. But he also healed spiritual blindness as he opened up people's eyes to see the truth of who God is and what God's heart is and what God desires for them. And he set people free all kinds of different ways that he set people free from their captivity, set people free from spiritual oppression, these evil spirits that were oppressing people. And Jesus says, leave, and brings them freedom. He sets people free from sin, sets people free from the oppression of religious systems, right? Think about the overbearing Sabbath traditions that had arisen in that culture. And Jesus says, that's not what Sabbath is about. can be free of that. The Sabbath is meant for you. It's meant for you to be restored and to rest in God. So he's bringing freedom in all of these different ways. And the people are thinking like, okay, he's the Messiah. He's gonna overthrow Rome and really set us free from that oppression. But Jesus does that in a very different way, right? He sets up a community of his followers and calls them to live in a very different way. And so even in the midst of political oppression, they have this community in which they're living a different reality. They're living God's reality. And so Jesus can say, I've set you free. I've set you free. So this is exactly what Jesus did. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And guess what? This is exactly what Jesus still does, right? He's still proclaiming good news. He's still teaching people about the good life of who God is. He's still bringing healing, physical healing, psychological healing, relational healing, wounds from trauma. He's still bringing about healing today. He's still setting people free from sin. He's still setting people free from shame and from evil spirits. Jesus is still doing this. And almost all of you, many of you at least, are here because Jesus has done at least one of those things in your life, right? So I just want to invite you. I feel like this is the space. I often read that passion like, yeah, like this is the stuff we got to do. But I just want us to take a minute and just take a minute and share with your neighbor, like, what has Jesus done for you specifically? Like, what has Jesus done for you? So I'm going to allow you just reflect on that for a minute. Take a moment, share it with your neighbor, and just give God some glory for what Jesus has done. I think the gospel writer John says there aren't enough books in the world to contain all the stories of what Jesus has done, right? So if you got cut off in a story, I want to encourage you, finish that story before you leave here today. Anybody you want to shout something out Jesus has done? I've been so encouraged hearing some stories recently of addictions, being set free from addictions. But yeah, John. Jesus provided a van. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Ken. Yeah, the miracle of Henry. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Freedom from guilt and shame. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and it's so important, I think, for us to share these stories, because I'm guessing that some of us showed up this morning thinking, man, I could really use Jesus to do something like this again, right? And so we share these stories, we become an encouragement. You know, like, yeah, Jesus did it for them. Maybe he could do it for me. And so a question that this leads us to is, where do you need Jesus to do what he does today? And you can sit with that question. Maybe you came in already knowing full well what you want Jesus to do. And we're going to have an opportunity here to pray, folks who will be available to pray for you in that. Where does Jesus need to set you free? Where does he need to bring healing? What good news do you need to hear this morning? Because Jesus still does those things today. To steal a line from Doug a couple weeks ago, but wait, there's more. Not only does Jesus do all of those things, but there's more. So this passage we read, the passage that Jesus reads, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And Luke throughout the first few chapters of his gospel. So 2 weeks ago, Doug talked about his baptism, when the Spirit of God descends upon him. And then Luke writes again, and Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. This is the start of chapter 4. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then the passage that Bob read for us begins with, and then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Right? Luke wants us wants to make sure we get this. The Spirit is animate and working in power in Jesus. That's the Spirit that's working in him. And guess what? The passage that Dennis read, 1 Corinthians 12, what's that all about? It's all about how Jesus wants to anoint us with that same Spirit. So yes, there's more. The Spirit that anointed Jesus is the same Spirit that he wants to anoint us with. When you put your faith in Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is available to you. Because Jesus doesn't just save you from something. He doesn't just save you from those things. He saves you for something. To participate with him in the work of love, in the work of grace, in the work of proclaiming and manifesting the kingdom of God in your spheres of influence. And to do so with the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 61, the passage that Jesus, he gets the scroll. He's reading from Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 61. This is beautifully written. If you look at that passage, it is really not quite, it's not quite clear who the me is, right? Who's talking in this? And so when Jesus picks up and reads the scroll, as Bob read it, I love how he paused and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And so Jesus is able, yeah, this passage is about me. Well, guess what? You, the reader, you are welcomed into that story so that when you read that passage as the reader, you begin to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Yeah, me. And so you become the me in this story. We become the me of Isaiah 61. And this is what 1 Corinthians 12, this is what Paul is getting on about, is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you as a church body. And it's not really that matter who's doing the healing and who's doing the prophesying, because guess what? It's all the work of the Spirit. And so you can celebrate all of that. Because God is at work in your midst. This is what Acts is all about. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon the disciples. They are the me who are carrying this mission forward. And in 1 Corinthians and the other letters that we have, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to proclaim good news, to set captives free, to heal, to manifest and proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. Do we believe this? Are we hungry for this? Are we willing to pursue this? Because you're not just a foot. You're a foot that is anointed with the Holy Spirit to walk in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're not just a mouth. You're a mouth that has the words to proclaim from the Holy Spirit, to proclaim good news, to prophesy, to speak words of knowledge and wisdom. I know there's a big game today, and so many of you have football on your brain, but if you'll indulge me for a second, I'd like to talk a little bit about basketball. Because basketball is my favorite sport to play. It's also, right now I'm coaching Tristan's basketball team. I've coached with Upward Basketball for a handful of years, and it's one of my favorite things in the world. The thing that I love most about coaching kids basketball is that inevitably there are a whole bunch of kids on the team who are new to the game, and they're learning it, and they're practicing, and I get to watch them practice, and I get to see them do things really well. And then whenever it's their first season, the first game comes around, and they all get out there, and they're like, and the fans are cheering, and I can only imagine what that's like for them. But it's so fun because I get to continue to watch them in practice. And when they get out on the court in the game and all of a sudden they're scared, then I get to remind them. And so beautiful example of this, there was a player on the team, his first year playing, he didn't score any points the whole year. And as I'm working with him in his second year of playing, I played like one or two games, he hadn't scored, but I'm watching this kid in practice. And when he gets in the shooting drill, he's just swishing shot after shot. So at the end of practice, I say, man, you're a really good shooter. So I hope that in the games to come, you get an opportunity to shoot the basketball. Because if you shoot it, there's a good chance it's going in because you're a good shooter. Sure enough, I don't know if it was the next game or a couple games later, finally gets like, it's just chaos on the court, right? So sometimes you don't have control over whether or not you're getting an open shot, but he gets an open shot, nails it. His confidence just soars through the roof. He's a different player on the court, right? So as a coach, I get to call out this in the kids, say, you are such a good passer. Like, I love the way you see open teammates. And all of a sudden, oh, right, I can do that. I can do it in a game, not just in practice. And then as a coach, I get to try to put players in the right positions where their strengths are being able to utilize to help the whole team win. Right? That's what Paul is describing in the body of the church. All right? But they've got a much, much better coach who's not just coaching, but is actually on the floor with us. The Holy Spirit who's giving us the gift and then helping us grow in that gift if we're willing to follow him. Right? If we're willing to do what he's prompting us to do. And I'm so encouraged. Like just this week, I've heard like probably 3 or 4 stories of folks within Renew where something's bubbling up from the Holy Spirit. And to see people just take the small risk, not crazy big risk, but just the small risk of what would it look like if I obeyed the prompting of the Spirit in this? And to see the beautiful work that the Spirit does in us when we obey in those spaces. So yes, I want us to stretch in this season of the faith and the courage to believe that what Jesus did and what Jesus is doing, he's inviting us to participate with in the power and the presence of his Spirit. And when we hear from the Spirit and we're wondering, well, is that bad pizza or is it the Spirit? We say, well, what's the worst that could happen if I followed through on this? Somebody might think I'm a little bit weird. Well, that's a pretty small price to pay for what could be a huge reward, right, of walking in obedience to the Spirit. And there's a variety of gifts and a variety of expressions of the way this Holy Spirit moves and leads in power. So the question, another question this morning is, how is the Spirit anointing you? How is the Spirit anointing you? As those who put our trust in Jesus, we are given a missionary identity. He calls us to participate with him. And in order to live out our missionary identity, we need the anointing and the baptism, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to do this work. And so Paul writes, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire these gifts of the Spirit, right? And so that's our invitation this year. That's our challenge, is that we would be a community that is hungering for these gifts of the Spirit. We would be a community that is eagerly desiring to grow in using these gifts of the Spirit to bless and encourage and strengthen one another within the church. And as opportunities to proclaim his good news to those who don't know Jesus, so the Spirit can move in those ways. So can we increase our hunger and increase our expectancy that when we show up to house church and when we show up to gathering, we're expecting that we're going to encounter the Holy Spirit in some sort of way. But it's not just Sunday morning, it's Monday morning that when you wake up, you begin to just pray, Lord, would you give me the Spirit to guide me, to empower me today? Come, Holy Spirit. And you're expectant as you head into your Monday that the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you, is going to give you some thoughts, or is going to show you something that you've never seen. Maybe it's a bush burning up on a mountain that you've walked past 100 times and never noticed. But today, in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, whoa, that bush is on fire. But it's not being consumed. So can we cultivate that expectancy? And just begin to pray regularly, come Holy Spirit. Or Heavenly Father, give me your Holy Spirit, please. with humility and dependence on him for what he wants to do in our lives, so that we can proclaim and manifest the kingdom of God. I want to invite our worship team back up and we can respond in worship. As we do that, as Doug mentioned, once the music team starts playing, our kids are going to hear that upstairs. That's going to be their cue to come back down and join us. So we'll respond in worship with that first song, and then we're going to come to the table after that first song, continue in worship. As we're worshiping, our prayer team is going to be available. And if there's lots of different ways the Spirit might be stirring in you today, but I just want to encourage you, go pray with somebody. Go pray with our prayer team. Maybe the Spirit is calling to mind that thing in your heart, some addiction that you just want to be free of, what is it that you want Jesus to do today? Or some sin that you've been wrestling with and you just want to be free. And so you want to confess that with our prayer team and receive forgiveness as they pray for you. Or maybe it's, I'm not hungry, but I want to be hungry. God is good enough to meet us in that place where we're not hungry yet, but we want to be hungry. So maybe you come to the prayer team and just say, I want to be hungry. I'm not there yet, but I want to be. And they'll pray with you. Or maybe it's like, yeah, I don't fully understand what baptism in the Spirit or anointing in the Holy Spirit means, but I want it. They would love to pray with you in that. Or there's a gift that you feel the Holy Spirit is giving you and you want to cultivate more of it. And our prayer team can be with you and just listen with you to the Holy Spirit as you pray together. Renew, can we be a community that believes that Jesus did what he did what he said he was going to do, that he's still doing what he did then, and he wants us to participate in that, and he's giving us the gift of the Spirit to do so. Come, Holy Spirit.